Good morning once again. We welcome you here to our church service this morning. We are thankful that you are here. It's especially fun to see a lot of guests, a lot of family members here joining us today, and we appreciate you here to support these graduates that the Lord has blessed us with in this church body. It's kind of fun today. This is, I think, probably the first time where I'm going to get the opportunity to preach to my dad, and he's going to have to just sit there and take it. I don't think he'll leave, but if he does, someone grab him on his way out. But this will be kind of interesting and fun. Last week it's funny, I was eating at Taco John's for lunch, and I eat there fairly frequently, but I was eating there for lunch last week, and 12 o'clock, all of a sudden, here walks in my daughter and Chloe and another friend, and they just happened to be, they were still in school at that point, and they were there at lunchtime, and they happened to walk in right after me, so lucky dad got to buy everybody lunch. But at that lunch table, I disclosed to the girls that, hey, I'm going to be delivering the message at graduation Sunday. And, you know, Chloe had a response to that. It wasn't what you would maybe think. You know, she didn't ask, well, what are you going to preach on, or what passage are we going to look at? No, her only two words were, oh my. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer before we begin this morning. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day you've blessed us with, Lord, and we thank you for the blessing of these four young ladies that you've put into our church body and put into our families and our homes, the privilege of watching them grow up over the years, Father. We dedicate this day to you first and foremost. Lord, we ask that this be a special day for these girls especially, and just ask your blessing now as we look into your word. Give us wisdom and discernment as we do that. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. So I've titled today's message, Five Character Traits of Believing Graduates. Five Character Traits of Believing Graduates. And while this message today is aimed at these four young ladies sitting in the front row, it is pertinent to all believers. However, these five character traits that we're going to talk about today will do you no good whatsoever unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I believe that our four graduates sitting in front of us here, they have placed their faith and hope in Jesus. I've had the honor of getting to know these young ladies over the years. Some of you I might know a little too well. But there is ample evidence that they are actively seeking and following the Lord Jesus. But I ask everyone else here, where have you placed your eternal hope? 2 Corinthians 13:5 commands us to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the truth. Test yourselves. I challenge you to examine yourselves this morning. And after examining yourself, after testing yourself, if you find that you have not placed your faith in the finished work of Christ and Christ alone, please come visit with me or pastor or one of the other elders after the church service. We would love to spend time with you yet this morning and show you how you can have that faith and hope in Jesus Christ. So, ladies, yesterday Kaya graduated. She's already done this once. And later today, Chloe, Delaney, and Sria, you guys will be at your high school graduation. What does the word graduation mean? Well, in its noun form, graduation simply means the successful completion of a program or study. For our time today, we're going to look at a person from the Bible who graduated. He successfully completed the task God set before him. We're going to be looking at Joseph today in Genesis chapter 37. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 37 in your pew Bible. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's on page 37 in your pew Bible there. And you can follow along as we look at the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph was a 17-year-old teenager. I know three of you are 17, right? Three of you are 17. So this kid was your age, 17 years old. He was taken from his home country, sold into slavery by his own brothers, went to a new land full of idolatry and pagan worship. There was no church, no family support, no written word. How did this guy handle that situation? Did he fall apart? Did he succumb to the peer pressure from this new world that he found himself in? The answer to that is no. He handled this situation incredibly well, much better than this 45-year-old could handle that same situation. So we're going to look at the five character traits that we can glean from the life of Joseph. So if you turn in Genesis chapter 37, we're going to start reading in verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. We're going to stop there for a minute. It's a pretty straightforward passage, but I want to point out one fact in here. What Joseph did, he obeyed his parents. He obeyed his parents completely. The travel from Hebron, the valley of Hebron, where they were at, to Shechem, it was about 60 miles. And that's not a big deal today, but in those days, that was a 3 to 4 day journey. It was a journey full of perils, a journey full of struggles and danger. And, you know, they didn't have a weather app to see if it was going to rain like it rained all day yesterday. He just took off 4 days, 3 or 4 days. And they weren't there. He gets there, the brothers aren't there. What's he do? Does he turn around and go home and say, "Dad, they weren't where you told me they were going to be"? No, he figures out where they're at. He goes on further north to Dothan, another 15 miles. So, graduates, let me ask you this. When you obey your parents, do you go the extra 15 miles? You're probably sitting there saying, "But Brian, look, I'm graduating today. I'm going to be moving out of the house soon, going off to college. Why are you talking about obeying your parents?" Well, I'm bringing it up because Genesis chapter 20, verse 5, does not say, "Honor your father and mother until you turn 18, or until you go to college, or until you move out of the house." It says, "Honor your father and mother." You will always be your parents' child. Therefore, you should always honor them. So how do you honor your parents? Might I suggest by obeying them. Joseph honored his father by obeying him, even going the extra 15 miles. So character trait number one, honor your parents with obedience. Honor your parents with obedience. So let's keep reading Genesis 37, starting in verse 18. Then they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Come, here comes that dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness. But do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. What's interesting to me in this dialogue here of his brothers selling their baby brother Joseph into slavery, you know, You guys have siblings, so there's probably been times when you wanted to sell your sibling into slavery, but these guys really did it. They sold their brother into slavery. But what's interesting is that there's no mention here of Joseph questioning God. There's no mention of him crying out to his brothers. It's very evident that Joseph had complete trust in God's plan. Now, in order to trust someone, you must first know that person, right? Well, it's the same way with God. In order to trust God, we must first know the Lord. Now, today the world is telling you you need to figure out about yourself. You need to know yourself. If you haven't heard that yet, I guarantee you will hear that in college. You need to know yourself. But is that biblical? I contend today that not only is that philosophy not biblical, it can be outright depressing. I tell you what, this guy's sin nature is pretty ugly to look at. I don't want to know any more about myself. I want to know more about my Savior. As Chuck Swindoll wrote, I am more convinced than ever that life's major pursuit is not knowing self, but knowing God. The more we seek Him and come to know Him, the better off we will be in all areas of our life. Knowing Him is the key to a better life, not knowing ourselves. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says, Thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. For I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So how do we get to know him? I'm glad you asked me that, Delaney. We do it privately and we do it collectively. We study God's word and worship him at home and at church. God's word is the key because it is perfect and it does not change. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 said, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Psalm 119 says, Blessed are they are these whose ways are blameless, whose walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. And then finally, Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So character trait number 2 is seek the Lord by studying his word, and your faith will grow. Joseph knew God, and because of that knowledge, he trusted him. How is your knowledge of the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord in his word? Are you spending time reading, studying, and memorizing God's word? Ladies, have you started researching churches in Manhattan, Hayes, and Omaha? Do you know where your new church home is going to be while you're away at school? If you have not, I'd encourage you to talk to your pastor. Jonathan has a lot of connections and knows a lot of great churches out there. So be thinking about that as you plan to move away from Concordia. All right, we're going to skip ahead in the story a little bit to Genesis chapter 39. So flip ahead to the next chapter there. Genesis chapter 39. When Joseph gets to Egypt, we're going to pick it up there in verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything except the food that he ate. So what does Joseph do once he becomes a slave, once he literally becomes a possession of Potiphar? Well, it's apparent that Joseph works hard, and God is seen through his work. Joseph does his best that he can with the circumstances that God has placed him in. Look at verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him. That just says that when we work to please God, men take notice. Ladies, if you choose to honor the Lord and seek after him and work as if you're working for him, people will take notice. As an ambassador of Christ, we are his employee. We need to work hard for him. That may be in your schoolwork. It might be in a job. It might be in your home. Wherever it is, work hard. In today's world, it's getting more and more difficult to find people who are willing to work hard. So character trait number 3 is work hard as for the Lord. Let's continue on with Joseph here at the end of verse 6. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in his house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the home, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. As soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." It's interesting that this temptation for Joseph doesn't come until after he experiences a lot of success. And I've noticed that with my own life too. A lot of times the temptation for sin comes right after a milestone, a graduation, something exciting that happens in your life, some blessing that God pours out on you. Sin is going to be waiting right around the corner, has been my experience. So what does Joseph do when he's confronted with this opportunity to sin? Look at verse 9. You see Joseph's concern. He was concerned about sinning against God. He didn't care about whether he sinned against this lady necessarily. He was concerned about his relationship with the Lord. He probably could have sinned, probably may have not even gotten caught. I don't know. But he was concerned about, if he did this evil act, it would affect his relationship with his Lord and Savior. Verse 10, you see his conviction. He would not listen to her or be with her. He guarded his heart. He stayed away from her. He did everything he could to avoid this temptation. Ladies, you're going to be confronted with temptations when you move away from here. Do everything you can to avoid those situations. And then verse, at the end of the passage here, 11 through 15, you see the cost that Joseph has. Fleeing from sin might cost you something. It might make people angry. Sinners tend to enjoy company. They don't like to sin on their own. They like to bring people in with them. Sinners enjoy company. So sometimes there may be a cost to avoiding sin. Many, many times throughout the course of your lives, young ladies, you are going to have to ask yourself this question. Am I going to indulge in sin and please man, or am I going to flee sin and please God? So character trait number 4 that we learn from Joseph is flee sin. Run away. So Joseph, he gets convicted of this false crime. He's put into prison, but God continues to bless him in prison despite man's efforts. At the end of Genesis 39, he's put in charge of the prison. In chapter 40, sometime later, he interprets dreams for a couple of Pharaoh's officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, if you recall. And then in Genesis 41, Pharaoh has this dream. This is 2 years later. He has this dream about, remember, the seven fat cows and the seven really skinny cows and the seven big luscious heads of grain and the seven withered heads of grain. And no one could interpret the dream. And one of his officials remembers, oh, there's a guy in prison. He's a Hebrew. He can interpret your dream. Pharaoh calls him up. Joseph interprets the dream. And this is in chapter 41, verse 46. Joseph is now 30 years old. He interprets the dream. Pharaoh's impressed. He brings him in, makes him in charge of basically everything in Egypt. Joseph's 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh. And 7 years of abundance follow. Huge quantities of food are stored up in preparation for the 7 years of famine that are to come. So Joseph is now about 37 years old. He's been in Egypt for roughly 20 years. We don't know how long he spent in prison. We don't know how long he was in Potiphar's house before he went to prison. But he was in prison anywhere from 2 to 13 years, a fairly long time. And now his brothers come seeking food. Remember, they're still back in Canaan, and they're hungry. They're starving. They come to Egypt because they hear there's food in Egypt. They come to their, unbeknownst to them, they come to their brother seeking food. How does Joseph greet them? How does he respond? He responds not with vengeance or hatred, but with grace. So character trait number 5 is offer grace to others. As the brothers come back to Egypt, there's a couple of different segues here. In chapter 42 is their first journey back. And if you recall, Joseph gives them their money back and gives them provisions for their journey back home. Second time they come, he gives them a feast and he gives them their money back again. And then finally, in chapter 45, that's where we're going to pick up our story of Joseph here. Genesis chapter 45, starting in verse 1, Joseph can't control it any longer. And grace just spills out of him. And it's just a beautiful scripture to read here. So Genesis 45, starting at verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, and there will be yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all of you, all that you have, do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, this is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." Look back in verse 5. Three little words there. God sent me. Verse 7, God sent me. Verse 8, not you who sent me, but God. Verse 9, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Maybe God can use an act of someone's wrongdoing for something great later on. Character trait number five, offer grace to others. We step on each other's toes a lot. I've offended, I think, all four of you. I know I've offended you a lot over the years. And you've had to offer me a lot of grace. In this life, ladies, you will have many, many, many opportunities to offer grace to others. For example, about 2 weeks ago, I was at Orchlands, and I was checking out, and there was a young teenage girl checking, running the cash register, and, you know, she's looks like a bright young lady. I think pretty highly of her, but she looks at me, and she says, "Sir, do you qualify for the senior discount?" What a great opportunity for me to offer grace. I wanted to smack her upside the head. But by the way, Orchlands offers their senior discount on Wednesdays. Where's Jim Kopic? Jim, are you in here? Make sure, if you qualify, go on Wednesday. Senior discount on Wednesdays, all right? So let's review, ladies, the five character traits for believing graduates. Honor your parents with obedience. Seek the Lord by studying His Word, and your faith will grow. Work hard as for the Lord. Flee sin and offer grace to others. The grace and mercy that Joseph offered to his brothers is a picture of the grace and mercy that Christ offers each and every one of us. Just like his brothers, we've turned our back on God, each and every one of us. We've stabbed him in the back. We nailed Jesus to the cross. My sins did that. Your sins did that. But just like Joseph, Christ offers mercy. Again, if anyone here would like to talk to someone about your eternal destination, please come see me after the service. Come see Pastor. Chloe, Delaney, Kaya, and Sria, if you strive for these five character traits throughout your lives, you will have a good graduation. You will have a successful completion of a program or study. I love each of you ladies very much. I can't wait to see how the Lord continues to work in your lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this example of Joseph, of how we should handle tough situations, how despite being placed in a difficult place, Lord, he remembered the truth of your word. He did not sway from what he had been taught when he was a young person, Lord. And we pray the same thing for these four young ladies, that they would not forget what they were taught in this church, what they were taught by their parents, by their grandparents, by their aunts and uncles. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of this time that we could spend in your word this morning. Just ask that your name would be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.